I can hear this music as Hassan Reddick walks back into the link.
Da-na-na.
As an Eagle one more time.
I tell you what, man. This song does get you hype, man.
It does, of course.
It definitely does.
Imagine, all right, imagine post-bye, right? Eagles have bye next week. Trade goes down.
Da-na-na.
They introduce the defense against the Browns. Last guy out of the tunnel, Hassan Reddick back as an Eagle. Can you imagine the roar at the link? Can you hear that right now?
No.
No, come on.
It's not going to happen.
Do you realize how much money that studio audience back there is paying? And you disappoint them every day.
I'm getting a lot of heat
live
for this.
Live studio
I'm
audience.
Listen, people. Because I just got somebody made a meme talking about I'm a fan of the Bryce Huff fan club. I see that. I see
the
everything.
The only one.
But I'm trying to tell you what I know. I'm just saying. I think he can play. I believe that. And y'all need to start believing me because didn't I tell you last week that this defense can play? Why is it? Why? See, I see what it is now.
Hold on.
I'm on a week-to-week basis.
Yeah, of course. But you leave something out of that. I just think it's funny. I told you guys this defense could play. Coincidentally, they played well when they took Huff off the field. The less he played.
Because it's one of those things where you do what's comfortable. You don't do what's right all the time. And I think the easiest thing that Coach Fangio did was he went to a five-man front and he put BG out there.
Yeah,
How long is BG going to play at the level that you have him playing at?
I don't know.
As long as it takes.
That's right.
See, we're worried about Saquon's health because he's older. BG, 36.
He's an old man. All right, let's get to the phone lines here. 215-592-9494. We'll get to some of the Saquon stuff. How much will they run him on Sunday? Do you expect to win even with the injuries? And Huff for Reddick, let's call this thing in. Would you do it? I would. Hugh is not giving up on Huff. Bobby in Harleysville. Hey, Bobby.
Hey, how you guys doing?
Good, Bobby. What's up?
Hugh.
Yes.
Love you.
Here we go.
I appreciate you. But, man, you are so wrong on this. Look at the production over the years of these two players, Huff and Reddick. And Reddick comes out on top. No matter what, no matter where you put him in, no matter how many downs you play him in, Reddick comes out on top.
Bobby, can I ask you a question?
Hold on.
Bobby, can I ask you a question? Okay, Bobby, go. Go for it, Bobby. Go. You got it.
Okay. So you say comfortability over what's right, correct? Okay, comfortability is you put Hassan Reddick in every down. You don't have to worry about him completing his job against anybody. You don't have to worry about that. But with Huff, you got to worry about it because the tight end can just keep him held up. And that's ridiculous. That's ridiculous that a tight end can keep his defensive end held up like that. It's ridiculous.
Okay, Bobby, are you done?
Okay.
Because when I said being comfortable, I was talking about the five-man front that they went to last week and the fact that you took him off the field because BG is the comfortable player.
Mm.
And as far as Hassan Reddick being here, why do you think Hassan Reddick isn't here? Like, let's start with that.
Because he wanted more money than they didn't want to give it to him.
And they might have been wrong.
They were definitely wrong. They were definitely – look at the production. If you look at the production –
Bobby, are you going to let me speak?
I
gave you the whole floor. Am I allowed to speak?
Okay, I'm sorry. Go ahead, sir.
Bobby's passionate.
No, it's cool, Bobby. I appreciate your passion, but I'm trying to explain to you where I'm coming from. Hassan Reddick is an older player. And the Eagles didn't want to give him the money that he was asking for. They felt like he was asking for too much money. The same reason why the Jets don't want to give him that kind of money. Like we just talked about, Bryce Huff, between the two, has a tremendous upside. And he's shown when he was with the Jets that he can play. I believe that Bryce Huff can play at this level. And I think he can play for us if put in the right opportunities. This is the thing, Bobby, when I see Bryce Huff. You're asking him to be an every down player, which he hasn't done, and I understand that. And you're asking him to play a defensive end spot that he hasn't been comfortable playing at all. So in order to help him out, to me, you need to put him on the easier side of the ball. You need to put him on the right side of the ball, take him out of that tight end, off the tight end side. There's a lot going on over there. You're right. He is getting crushed by the tight ends.
Yep.
Because, number one, it's the way that he's lining up. And he's not understanding the run fits. He's not understanding the mechanisms of playing that position, the left defensive end. And as of right now, to me, as I sit here on this radio show and not down there at the NovaCare Complex, it looks to me like Coach Fangio is not doing anything, or Coach Hurts or whoever you want to put it on, is not doing anything to help him learn that position. And they're doing the easy thing right now and putting BG out there at 36 years old and just fixing the problem that way instead of bringing him along and teaching him how to play that position.
I agree with what you just said, Hugh, but you know what another easy fix is, Bobby? Trade Huff out of here and bring back Reddick.
Boy, I tell you.
Oh, Zach, and you know what? It will fix and solve most of the problems that we're having right now rushing the passer. It will fix it.
No, do you know what? You know what will fix these problems?
I think it will. It will.
How about Coach Fangio coach him up? How about he do that?
Yes. Yes, but how long is that going to take for
a fair point.
You know how long? He should have been doing it as the
season. This player was never meant for the league like this.
What you mean he wasn't ever meant? He's been in the league for 4 years. What are you talking about? He's been in the league. He's been in the NFL for 4 years.
In a limited role. In a limited role.
Okay, if he's in a limited role, then how about you help him out? Ask me this, Bobby. Why has Hassan Reddick been on four other football teams? Why has he been on four other teams?
Why did he produce the most on ours?
Why is he, if you have a pass rusher of his caliber, why is he on so many different teams?
All right, we appreciate it. Let's everyone, little deep breath. I'll take it for a second. All right, while we take a deep breath. I think the last thing you said, Hugh, is fair. Because he said, Huff's not built for this, and you think, give him time, right? He could be built for it. And you make a fair point. It took Reddick a while to get to that level, right? So here's the question I have. Are we trying to win this year, or is this a long-term plan? Because if it's a long, if you tell me, Joe, take a deep breath. Huff's here for 3 years. It's a long-term thing. Next year's our year. The year after that, he'll get there. I believe you. But if the goal is to win right now, I don't know how long it's going to take Huff to figure this out. Guess what I know? Get Reddick back in an Eagles uniform, and I guarantee you next Sunday, or two Sundays from now, he takes down Deshaun Watson with a sack or two. He'll come off the bus and sack the quarterback because that's where he is in his career.
I don't know.
I am not willing to wait for Huff.
I don't know. I think the reason why we're waiting for Huff is because, again, a lot of this is probably psychological because he hasn't played well, and I know he's starting to feel that heat from not playing well. And I feel like the coach is not helping him out at all. I don't know. Like, again, and I always preface it by saying this. I don't know what's going on down there at the NovaCare Complex. But you tell me that you gave this man $51 million and he only getting 18 snaps. And you, like, from what I've seen, he's been primarily the left end. So that tells me this. Like, if he's not playing well, Joe, it's my job to make sure or put him in position to be successful. That's my job as a coach.
I agree with that.
And if he's not playing well against the tight end, okay, help him out a little bit. Okay, on passing downs, move him to the right side. Let him go against space. Let him work in space because that's where it looks like he's comfortable. So let him work in space.
So but they could do that. I mean, and maybe they will. It's a quicker fix to get Reddick back here. 215-592-9494. I'm going to use an analogy. I'm not even going to say it to you, Hugh, because I know how you are about sharing food. Let me give you an analogy. Kyle might be able to relate to this. I think a lot of people. You ever go out with someone to a restaurant? Could be anybody, right? And you order one thing, but you thought about ordering the other thing. And then the person you're with orders you both had the same similar ideas. Mm-hmm. I got choice A. They got choice B. You start eating it. You try each other's and you realize, you know what? I like yours better. You like mine better. Let's just swap. It's not that big of a deal.
No.
That's not a great analogy. I'm sorry.
It's not a great analogy.
No, I actually think it was a good analogy.
No, it's not. Yeah. Like, I don't like my food.
You don't share.
No, but it's like, I ordered what I ordered. And I feel like since I ordered
you're
it.
Stubborn.
Okay, no.
Yeah,
okay.
You are.
You're stubborn.
No, it's not. Stubborn. It's like I ordered it and I'm going to eat it.
That's stubborn. That's
it's not being stubborn. I'm going to eat it.
Apologize to Castellanos. My goodness.
That's more plant-based thinking about Hugh. He wouldn't throw away the plant-based butter because he bought it. He was stubborn.
I'm gonna eat it. I'm gonna eat what I bought.
You know what? Bryce Huff is the plant-based butter. You
not,
bought it and you're gonna
no,
eat it no matter
it's,
what.
It's not. It's when I see it, I feel like you need to help him be successful. Because when I see Bryce Huff play, he reminds me a little bit of Cameron Wake. Go back and look at Cameron Wake's film. They built about the same. Cameron Wake was primarily a right defensive end. Played for the Miami Dolphins. You have to, and I saw him, he had some pretty decent rushes last week. Coach Fangio needs to do a better job of putting him in position to be successful.
Yeah, we could ask more out of the teacher, or we could just get a new student. Ron in Pottstown. What's up, Ron?
Hey, thanks for taking my call.
You got it, Ron. What are you thinking?
I'm thinking you's right. First of all, they came in the season, if I'm not mistaken, the fourth youngest team in the NFL.
Yes, they did. So,
okay. You're right, because it's funny. 2 days ago, I read a stat where Huff was like one of the top pass rushers that's been chipped. And that leads me to believe you're going to have to get him in a position where he's not being chipped all the time.
You have to.
You're right. So you're right. You got to get him space where he can roam free a little bit. So you're right when you got to get away from the tight end and let him roam a little bit.
The other thing, Ron, before you go on, Hugh, and I think I'll see if you agree with this. When I hear a player's being chipped, it tells me the defense.
They respect his speed.
It's almost the you ever hear the Reggie Jackson line back in the day? They don't boo nobodies.
Yeah.
They probably don't chip players that don't have the ability.
Because they know he has the ability to do it.
Right.
And that's why I'm saying if I'm a defensive coordinator and I know that I have a $51 million guy sitting on my bench that has the pass rush ability, but right now he's not getting it done. Hell, I'm turning him into the joker. I'm making him the spinner. And what I mean by that is I'm going to move him around in that defense to allow him to get favorable matchups for him that's going to get him going. Coach Fangio has not done anything, in my opinion, in the last 3 weeks to help this man have success. That's a fact. Because you're just sticking him out there. He's not doing what you want him to do. And so instead of trying to help him out, you just put him on the bench and put somebody in that you know can get it done. And that's not the case. Like, your job as a coach is to make sure you get the most out of the players that you're given. And Coach Fangio's not doing that right now. He's not doing it. And I don't care what anybody says. That if you want him to be successful, you have to put him in position to be successful.
Ron, you
I'm
expect
sorry, Ron.
You
I'm being passionate.
You don't have to be sorry. Ron, no,
I agree with you. I totally agree with you. And he's a lot younger than Redick.
Yeah.
And they're not going to, you know, how he's not going to admit he made a mistake, and he's not going to pay him the money. Now, concerning Sunday's game, I'm not conceding anything to the Bucs. I watched Dotson play a lot at Penn State. That kid's a first-round pick for a reason. He's a good player. And second of all, I'm not giving Goddard. Goddard can do this. Listen, you think about Mahomes and Kelce. Everyone in the stadium knows that they're going to Kelce when he needs the yards. And if Goddard's as good as everyone thinks he is, then doggone it, he's got to be able to catch the ball in tight situations. And I'm not conceding him on Sunday when Jalen needs those yards. Goddard better be open.
Ron, and look, last week he came through in the big spot, so he could do it again. Ron, we appreciate the phone call. And yeah, their safety, Antoine Winfield, is out. So that speaks to another day where Goddard should be able. I mean, he's going to be their focal point on Sunday. I'd be shocked if he's not their focal point. Let's go to AJ in Woodbury. What's up, AJ?
What's going on, man? How you doing?
What's going on, man?
What's up, AJ? What are you feeling today?
Hugh, man. Yo, Hugh, I love you, man, but you're ruining the community, man.
I'm ruining the community? What does that even mean?
Usually I'm the one ruining the community. I got disinvited to the barbecues because of Jalen.
It's all love and jokes, man. So
I'm asking, what did I do?
Listen, I'm at my kids' football game the other day. Now, this is maybe 11, 12-year-old kids. There's a mom there. I'm screaming out to the kids, hey, before the half, say, hey, kids, nothing gets behind you. Let's go defense. You know, I'm clapping my hands. Lady way back in the stands who knows absolutely nothing about football goes, well, Hugh Douglas says defense is about you.
Oh, no.
You are ruining
AJ,
the community.
AJ, you ain't right for that, man. You are not right for that.
Oh, that's a great story,
hey,
AJ.
AJ, we needed that, though, because it was getting a little passionate in here. I needed that
lemony, man. Do you see the influence you have?
I needed that.
I'm trying, AJ, to get everyone to realize defense still matters, and Hugh is in these people's heads. It's unbelievable.
Now my kid is telling me, well, who is Hugh Douglas? I said, no, defense is it is not a luxury. We play defense around here. Okay?
No, it's different. It's different at that age. But, yeah, I apologize, AJ. I apologize, man. I'm going to try to do better. I'm trying to do better.
Hey, man, it's okay. You guys do a great job, man. I listen to you guys every day.
AJ, we appreciate you, man. That's a great phone call. That might be my favorite call we got in a long time.
Yeah, that was. That was a timely call.
So here's what happened. When you started this whole crusade, the defense doesn't matter, you didn't realize the children were going to be impacted.
No, I didn't know that, man. I didn't know that. And I apologize.
You know what I'm imagining now?
I apologize.
I'm imagining youth football coaches trying to teach defense, and these kids are like, come on, coach.
Hugh Douglas said, it don't matter.
Oh, man, these coaches are probably losing their mind. All right, you might lose your mind after I say this. Let's hear Sirianni this week, because there's a lot of discussion now about how they're going to win this game Sunday. If there's no AJ, if there's no Devontae, they're probably going to lean on Saquon, right? That's going to be how they're going to score. Well, how much Saquon is an acceptable amount, and how much is like, all right, let's not ruin this guy or wear him out in the first 3-4 games of the season. Here's Sirianni earlier this week with Joe and John on how much they could use Saquon if they have to use Saquon.
Saquon through 3 games has 73 touches. If you extrapolate that for 21 games, which is what it'll probably take to win the Super Bowl if you don't get a bye, he's on pace for 511 touches. 511. Do you feel you need to dial him back a bit?
Well, I think I don't remember where I said this. I do a lot of media, so I don't remember if I said it here, if I did it, said it in the production meeting, if I said it, you know, wherever I said this. But you do everything you can do to win each individual game, right? Can you imagine if we didn't give him the ball as many times as we did and we lost? You know what I mean? I think about how that would feel.
Right.
Like, oh, my God, we didn't give Saquon. We tried to pull back on Saquon to rest him for the 21 games like you're talking about, and we lost the game. You better win the game.
Yes.
You better win the game. And that's our job every single week. So the way I look at it, guys, is we'll do whatever. If Saquon needs to carry it 7 times to win because we got to throw it a bunch, then that's what's got to happen. If Saquon's got to carry it 50 times to win, then we'll give them to him 50 times. Where we can make up for that is in practice. You know, Saquon, how you feel? Talking to Saquon, how he's feeling, pulling back on him in practice, so that way he's completely fresh.
All right, so obviously Sirianni there is probably just going a little facetious, a little over the top with the number. No one's going to give him the ball 50 times, right?
That's crazy.
I think he's just throwing a number out there. But Hugh, we had this discussion a few weeks ago. We come back to it now. It hit me when I heard Joe say what he said in the midst of his question, that if you extrapolate the numbers, right, based on how often he's gotten the ball the first 3 weeks, if this is the whole season, that Saquon Barkley would touch the ball over 500 times this year. There is a point where they have to start thinking about the long term, isn't there? Like, would you give him the ball 30 times on Sunday? I feel like I have to have some sort of – I have to have something in the back of my head if I'm the head coach and the coordinator saying, we have to – take care of him so later in the season there's not diminishing returns. Do you think about that on Sunday, or are you like Sirianni on this, just try to win the game?
I'm just trying to win the game. I mean, and if I was compensating for him carrying the ball as much, I would probably give him the day off, you know,
during the week. During the week, is that you mean?
Well,
like during
like
practice.
This is, if I'm not mistaken, the bye is after this game,
it
correct?
Is. They have the bye next week.
So yeah, run him to death and give him 2 weeks off. Run him to death.
Kyle? I mean, I've been concerned about this for a while, even after the first game. Like, I just feel like as the season goes on, if this continues, I could see them easily getting wrapped into each week, right? Like, today we got to win the game. We'll worry about the big picture down the line. And then all of a sudden you wake up, it's Thanksgiving, and he's touched the ball way more than anybody else. And I don't want him to wear down in December and into January.
Remember when that caller said, I'm tired of Joe Giglio?
Yep.
I'm tired of you today.
He's tired of Joe.
This pisses me off so much.
Why?
Because Saquon Barkley is probably the best player we're going to have on the field Sunday. It's going to be wet. We have Johnny Wilson, John Ross, and Paris Campbell out there. It might as well be the three of us out there on the field catching passes from Jalen Hurts. Of course you give Saquon the ball as many times as it takes.
30 times.
Sure. Oh, whatever it takes to win the game. You're not just throwing away a game. Yeah, they have a bye week the next week. Like, if they have a pitcher, like, I know we use the pitcher analogy all the time. If they're going to, like, if he's getting over 100 pitches, right, and you're thinking about giving him 10 more, if he has, if the All-Star break's coming up, you obviously let him throw those 10 more pitches. Like, he has a week off, and in fact, if they keep giving Saquon the ball this much, By the end of the season, you know what's going to happen? Teams are going to start stacking the box more, and we won't have to give it to Saquon as much. Like, I don't know why we're so worried about him wearing down at the end of the year, when I don't know if there's any examples of running backs that toward the end of a season sort of taper off. I know it's sort of it might take a toll the next year. We have the DeMarco Murrays of the world, but I don't see any scenario where Saquon Barkley is all of a sudden going to fall off a cliff just because we gave him the ball 30 times in a season. When's it ever happen?
I remember, I just had his name in my head. The running back from Alabama, he was the start of it.
Ingram?
No, played for Seattle.
Alexander.
Alexander. Man, got paid. Fell off the cliff.
Well, hold on. They went to the Super Bowl that year.
Yeah, but he toted the rock a lot,
well,
man.
But the team benefited from it, right?
No,
They got to a Super Bowl because of it.
I mean, it is, but there's a chance, like, when you're talking about guys fall off the cliff, it happens.
All right, well, hold on.
Eddie George, I think, was another guy.
I got an example. We were trying to find them before the show. And then, look, there's so many running backs. You have to, like, go through all their game logs. I got one for you very recently in just Eagles memory, right? Because we could go through anybody. Mm-hmm. 2022. Through the first 12 games or 13 games of the season, Miles Sanders was averaging over 5 yards a carry. He wore down that year.
Okay, well, you know what else happened?
Last four games, he averaged 3.6 yards a carry. By the time we got to the playoffs, who was the best running back in the playoffs? Kenny Gainwell.
Okay, but you're making my point for me. The team went to the Super Bowl.
I understand that.
The team benefited off of using the running back as much as possible. Let's give you a better example here. The guy that we have on our team right now, Saquon Barkley. Because in 22 to 23 was probably his last great season before he came here, 1,300
yards.
The year
they made the playoffs and played the Eagles.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I'm seeing his last, so let's go to his last five games now, because we'll include the two playoff games that he played in. 4.8 yards a carry, 6 yards a carry, 4.8 again, 5.89, 6.78 in the last game of the season. Saquon Barkley himself doesn't wear down.
He's also 2 years older.
We're worrying about nothing here.
He's 2 years older.
Okay, but have you seen him this year?
It's September.
He looks like he was in 2018. He hit his top speed, I think, of his career since 2018.
It's September. Like, Will he look like this in December? That's what I'm thinking about.
But I just think we're worried about nothing. Well, like, he's just as likely to get injured, if that's what we're worried about, on the very next touch we give him than the 400 touch this season.
Let me make it clear. I'm not saying to put him in bubble wrap and he gets 5 carries. I'm just saying he's had 73 touches in 3 games.
And they're 2-1.
It's an enormous.
He should be 3-0.
It's an enormous.
Yeah, 30 ain't gonna hurt him.
We're worried about wins here.
You realize, like, if we keep doing this, we're gonna wake up and he's gonna have the most touches in NFL history.
Awesome. I hope we're winning.
I'm gonna flip it on the side. Do you realize we keep playing Brandon Graham as much as we're playing him? He's probably gonna be cooked by the end of the season.
Yes, I know. They have to think about
this.
Okay, but
he's playing great and he's helping to win.
215-592-9494. I told you it was gonna be an explosive 11 o'clock hour. I felt it.
And Bobby, I just wanna let you know, no hard feelings, bro. We're both passionate about the team, and you know, this is what we do at the station.
Yeah, everyone's good. We appreciate it. 215-592-9494.